Welcome to Medroom Chronicles. Join nurses and other care providers as they let you in on discussions usually reserved for the privacy of the locked medication room. In this weekly nursing podcast, the filters come off and we tell it like it is. Your hosts, nurses Adrienne Benning and Andrew Craig, are here to educate and entertain on all things in the nursing world. This podcast is intended for nursing students, nurses, nursing assistants, and other care providers. Non-medical folk will probably get a kick out of us too. If you like what you hear, subscribe and share. Happy nursing, folks. Welcome to Medroom Chronicles, Nursing Uncensored. I am your host, Adrienne Benning. I'm an intermediate pulmonary and palliative care nurse, and I'm here to talk to you tonight about a topic that is near and dear to my heart. I am solo again tonight. Why? Well, I've kind of got this lazy streak in me that you may have heard me talk about. The hibernation, even though we're getting closer to spring, we've had daylight savings time, I still cannot manage to get out from under the snuggie and off the couch unless it's something that absolutely requires me to. So with that said, we are going to talk about something that I actually was reading about while laying on the couch reading Twitter. I have a Twitter account that is for Medroom Chronicles, and then I have a Twitter account that is kind of my anonymous Twitter account. But both, I've amassed a pretty good list of professionals to follow. And tonight, there were a bunch of people talking about how when they get floated to a unit, they get treated like garbage. They don't get a tour of the unit. They don't get friendly hellos or introductions. They just get attitude. Nobody wants to help them. They basically feel like they're alone on a sinking boat all night long, or all day long if you work day shift. Sorry, brain goes right to nights. So I want to talk about something that's very important, which is hospitality for floaters and travelers. Now, some people will disagree with me on some of these points, but, I mean, if you do, really, I just think you're kind of a grouch, and this this profession is about teamwork, collaboration, and lifting each other up. So if you're someone that is going to dismiss everything I say and just be like, eh, I'll treat travelers and floaters however I feel like, don't tell me how to treat people, well, then this isn't for you. But for those of you who want to be known as the unit that is great to go to and not as the unit that every hospital has. Every hospital has the unit where, like, you get floated there and people are, like, basically, like, praying for you and saying, I'm sorry and it'll be over soon. You know the unit I'm talking about. You've got one. One of the reasons I also can say that I know this to be true is that I was in the float pool at my hospital as a nursing assistant for like 4 years. Even now as a nurse, even though I've only floated a few times as an RN and usually to the ICU, which is a totally different type of terrifying when you're floating up in acuity. But I, as a nursing assistant, floated to all the units in the hospital and can rank them. I won't. But in my mind, just off the top of my head, I can rank them in my head from most desirable to least desirable or most hellacious, just from experiences that I had, you know, repeated experiences from doing this over and over again for years. So I've been on the side of it where I've been the new person or the person coming to help out. I've also been on the side of it where I'm the nurse that is supposed to be hospitable. So let me kind of break this down for you a little better. For those of you that don't know, or maybe aren't in tune with your floaters, or for students who maybe haven't experienced this yet, here's how it usually starts. You're sitting in the report room, or at least for me, I'm sitting in the report room. The room is filled with conversation, and it's kind of boisterous, and you know, it can get kind of loud. And then you notice that there's a nurse or nursing assistant that's like kind of, that's snuck in, they're kind of off in the periphery. I don't know, if it's a seasoned nurse, they're going to come in and be like, I'm your float, who have I got? And they're going to fall in. But if it's someone who perhaps is new, or this is an one of the first few floats they've had, they might be a little bit more sheepish. And let's face it, For new and experienced nurses alike, floating can be stressful. You're moving outside of your specialty, you're not going to get to work with the people that you're most used to working with, you don't know where anything is. So it's even worse when you walk into a room and your coworkers for the next 12 hours don't even acknowledge your presence, or they do and they don't really smile and it's kind of gruff and unceremonious. So this can just set a sour tone for the entire shift and put the balance of the team off kilter. If you need a floater or a traveler to complete your staffing, you'd better treat them well because, and I want you to think about this, if you're frustrated with a floater or a traveler, say, how many patients would I have if they just dissolved into thin air right now? Chances are you would have a lot more work to do if they weren't there. So, unless they really are just a terrible nurse, which happens not very often, give them the benefit of the doubt. Help them out. The whole point of them being there is to help you. Otherwise, you're just spreading your staff even thinner. So I believe that five-star treatment for our guest nurses and CNAs should be kind of like the gold standard. Introduce yourself, get them connected with the charge nurse for their assignment. Don't forget to show them around, or if there's someone that usually does this, connect them. So if the charge nurse is responsible for the tour and the orientation, connect them. Show them where the bathrooms are, the med rooms, the linen closets, the light switches, anything that maybe you take for granted that you know where they are. Wasted minutes and frustrations add up when you can't find things. I floated to units and couldn't find the thermometer. Do you know how much time I would have saved if I hadn't been searching in the patient's room for the thermometer? Or batteries for the telepack? Like, that was another thing that when I went to the cardiac step-down unit, I was like, all of my batteries are running low, but I can't find the batteries. Well, they were in the drawer of the bedside table, which was never the case on any other unit I'd ever been to. So if there's something that's unusual about your unit or something that's helpful, speak up. I had a particularly bad floating experience years ago when I went to a unit and I didn't have access to the bathroom because my badge wasn't recognized by the door readers. So every time I had to pee, I had to go up to ask somebody if I could use their badge to get in. So I got a lot of rolled eyes. People were like kind of huffy about it. To this day, I don't like floating there. And I had other bad experiences there. Just people that were rude and didn't value me as a member of the team. It's all about how I was treated. So I don't know. I didn't feel like a helpful staff member. I felt like an annoyance to them. I mean, it didn't feel good asking to have to pee. It's bad enough that we don't get the adequate amount of time we need to empty our bladders, and then to have to find someone that would hand you their badge, which some nurses don't trust you to do that, so they want to be like, hold on a second, let me finish what I'm doing. Meanwhile, you're like trying not to pee on the floor. All of these examples basically point to the fact that there are some things that you need to do on your home unit to make sure that your floaters or your travelers or whatever you call them feel like they are a welcome addition to your team. If your coworkers aren't like super keen on introducing themselves, just give the quick introduction. That's Joe. That's Sammy. That's Bridget. Let them know who they can go to for certain things, like she's the charge nurse, she's resource, whatever, however you assign your positions. Introduce them to the CNAs. Let them know who your CNAs are. How do you guys communicate? Do you have phones? Do you have Kyoceras? Whatever your primary method of communication is, make sure they know what that is. Let them know who to ask if they have problems or concerns. This is all basic and like minimum. I know that a lot of travelers are used to walking into a situation and just being let loose and they just figure it out. But think about how much nicer it would be if your first shift, maybe your only shift on that unit, didn't end up being hide and go seek with like the tourniquets and blood tubes or whatever it is that you need to find. I know that the places that I've gone, that I've been given a tour, it's taken a little bit of that fear because you've already seen everything. You don't have to wonder if you're about to walk into a door that you're not supposed to walk into, because they already showed you which rooms you're supposed to go into for what. Also, with your travelers and floaters, just check in periodically to make sure they're doing okay. Throw them a quick, like, hey, do you need anything? Hey, you doing all right? This should be a courtesy extended to anybody on your team, but especially to staff members who might be struggling and they don't really know who to ask for help, or, you know, maybe they're trying not to rock the boat too much. But if you took my advice from the previous step, then they already know where everything is. Now, this is where I might get some eye rolls from some of the more cynical nurses in the audience, but if you've got time, be chatty. Learn something about them. I'll tell you a very quick story that's actually 100% true. One of our travelers who came to work on my unit ended up finishing the assignment and leaving. Well, now that person is a permanent resident of the state I live in, an employee of my unit, and happens to be my best friend. So I don't remember the very first time that I interacted with this person, but I'm sure that if I had been a total jerk, we probably wouldn't be such good friends right now. So just remember, the people that are coming to work with you, who knows who they're going to be? They might be your best friend, they might be your partner someday, they might be your boss, or they might be someone that you work with once and then they're gone. Regardless, networking in nursing is never a bad thing. It can lead to relationships and opportunities that you might not even recognize exist yet, but can be helpful to you down the road. This also might get some eye rolls. Some people are like, work is work, home is home, I don't mix the two. That's the case, that's fine. I can't tell you not to do that. But if your traveler or your floater is going to be with you for a while, or if they're new to the area, adopt them. Now, this doesn't mean that you have to, like, invite them to your house for dinner, but, like, make sure that they kind of know the area. Where can they meet people? Where's a good place to eat? Where are the places that you don't want to eat? Include them in any, like, out-of-work activities that involve the, you know, your colleagues or your unit. Again, this is, like, how I found my current BFF. He knows who he is. He's probably not even listening to this right now. I've met lots of cool traveling nurses, and many have decided to, like, re-up with us. And they end up staying for another contract or multiple contracts. We just said goodbye not very long ago to a great lady who was with us for like 6 months. That's because my unit has our nursing hospitality down. We love our floats. We love our travelers. We want them to want to come back and work with us. And because of that attitude, we have had travel nurses come to us and say, you know, my travel agency said that this was a really good assignment and that people are usually really happy with this assignment. That's mostly true. I'm sure that there are some people that leave and they're like, whew, those people in Iowa, they're crazy. But I think that we do a good job of making the team feel like they're really part of the team. Now, on a more serious note, some of you might be mad. Some of you might have some resentments that, like, travelers make more money, yet they're doing the same job as you. But just remember, you get to go home to your family, you get to sleep in your own bed. I wish all nurses, traveler or not, made a nice little bankroll, but try not to be sour over this. Look at the non-monetary benefits versus the monetary benefits. We all could use a little bit more money, but are you all willing to pack up everything you own in a car and leave town for 16 weeks? If not, don't be bitter. Set aside the bitterness that you have or, like, whatever that resentment is, and thank these nurses who are taking a huge chance leaving home to work somewhere they may not know anybody. And then if you're a jerk to them, well, then they've got even more shit to deal with that they probably didn't want to. So treat them like you would want to be treated. Honor that golden rule, because you never know who that person is going to be to you down the road. And I don't just mean that to say that, like, oh, they might be valuable to you later, like as an opportunist. But I mean more so, like, this person that you might be dismissing as inconsequential to you or someone that's not worth your time could potentially be important to you or could be a connection that leads you to something good in the future. So that's what I mean. I'm not saying, like, keep people around in case they're helpful later. That's not what I mean. All right, also, if you see any of your coworkers being less than hospitable, do what you can to show them that shit don't fly on your unit. if you don't feel comfortable, like, directly saying to somebody, like, hey, knock it off, you can at least be a positive influence by, like, redirecting, changing the subject. If somebody is, like, bullying someone, say, hey, so-and-so who's getting picked on. I mean, don't say, hey, who's getting picked on, but, like, hey, Julie, come help me boost this patient. And then, you know, when you get a second, be like, oh, yeah, you okay? Cool. Thanks for your help. Make sure that you are setting an example and that you're not letting the bullies have the louder voices. If I've learned anything from working in a hospital for like 13 years, it's that the people that you work with are important to you. And if you're going to potentially have to save another human being's life in a really chaotic and stressful situation, you want to make sure that your team is cohesive, even if you just met them earlier that day. It's always best to foster good working relationships, including with those single-serving coworkers that only are there for like 4 hours, 8 hours, 12 hours, whatever. Keep your nurse karma good and treat your nursing brothers and sisters to a warm welcome when they come your way. It's definitely a way to develop a good reputation. It's just, you know, it's just the way to be. I don't think anyone was ever on their deathbed saying, oh, damn it, I was just too nice. Wish I hadn't been nice to that guy that I didn't know. Ugh. Nobody. And if they are saying that on their deathbed, you might want to back away because they sound like they're kind of scary. So yeah, set a good example. Next time you have a traveler or a floater or someone from another unit come to work with you to help fill gaps in your staffing, be the first one, especially if no one's speaking up. Be the first one to speak up and say, welcome to whatever your unit is. Here's the report sheet. Here's your assignment. Where are you from? Oh, cool. Nice to meet you. Well, I'm so-and-so. If there's anything I can do, let me know. That's all you got to do. I'm not asking you to take them out to dinner or promise them your firstborn child, but what your response should not be is to not look up, to not say a word, and to go about your business or to do nothing but complain. What's your philosophy? Are you a traveler? Are you someone who has travelers on your unit often? What do you think? Am I full of hooey? Am I too soft? Are travelers and floaters supposed to just toughen up and deal with the fact that they might go places where people just aren't so nice? Or is the act of not being nice perpetuating the bully culture in nursing? And is it our responsibility to squash this? Is it our individual responsibility to make sure that no one comes to a unit to help, to keep patients safe, and to keep the staff from having even higher ratios? Is it okay to not be friendly? I think we could probably debate this in a lot of different ways, but I hope you're all nice people. I hope you're all saying, like, yeah, totally, Adrienne. I can totally see how being nice to my floaters and travelers is really important. Leave messages in the comments. Go to medroomchronicles.com. Let's continue this discussion. Don't just stop it here. Thank you for continuing to listen every week despite my sporadic postings and, like I said, some pretty chronic laziness right now as we make our way through these last few weeks of winter. I think that's all I gotta say, you guys. Come back next week and happy nursing. Here at MedRoom Chronicles, we may be uncensored, but we are not unfiltered. Protected health information has been changed and concealed to comply with HIPAA of 1996. The things we talk about are combinations of years of experience with thousands of patients, things we've read, stories we've heard. If you think we're talking about you, trust me, we're not. Also, we're real nurses here to provide accurate and helpful info, but don't take us as fact without doing your own research. Refer to your state's Board of Nursing, Practice Acts, and your institution's policies and procedures if you have questions about your practice. Lastly, our very strong opinions are ours alone and do not reflect those of our employers or educational institutions. Thanks for listening and happy nursing, guys.